Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, our show is going to focus on the afterlife and whether or not it is a location. But before we get to our discussion and our callers, just a few messages for everybody. Of course, we would love if you followed us here on Blog Talk Radio, and you can do so by clicking the follow button under our profile. You may also join us on Facebook and Twitter. We've been kind of pushing that heavily. So the reason why is if you've called the show several times or you're a regular on the show, if you do have one of those accounts, that's the way we ask you to support us. A lot of shows will ask for donations. They'll do fund drives and things like that. We don't ask for anything like that. All we ask for is your support on our social media networks if you do have those accounts. So please do support us there if you're someone who calls the show regularly. It's pretty easy to do. What else? Twitter and Facebook. And there are two accounts on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker. That's a page where we can be followed, or you can send a friend request. And there's also Neil Baker Psychic, and that's a fan page where you may like that page. 562-596-7818 is the phone number to reach Neil directly if you'd like to talk beyond what the radio show allows time-wise. And our call-in number today, 914-338-0164. But afterlife. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things said about afterlife. You quote-unquote psychics talking about the afterlife. There's a lot of chatter about, you know, being with your family up there, laughing and having a good time. And so there's a sense that the earth is replicated in the afterlife, which is really not necessarily how it is. We tend to apply the idea of the earth to anything that our mind cannot comprehend in terms of physicality.
Yeah, it's comfortable for us to think that in hereafter, you know, we're going to be surrounding with our loved ones and sitting around chatting and sitting on a cloud or fishing or whatever it is.
Playing cards.
it's not really eternal bliss as we find a blissful day on earth. And so now you're going to the afterlife and it's like in a blissful day forever as you would have it on the earth. It's not really that at all. There is a certain description of a locality between worlds where everything is heightened in terms of the aspect of energy, because everything has an energy source. So in that realm, when we talk about angels and guides and spirits and fairies and celestial settings, there is a certain element of I guess, for want of a better term, a certain physical description, but it's not physical at all, because there is no physicality in the outer realm. It's not like we die and we go to another planet, or we go to some realm where everything is duplicated like it is on the earth, but it's just everything's divine.
Is that true? I mean, you know, I wanted to ask that question because there are other universes out there. So it's not possible for a soul to move into a different dimension.
Well, you're talking, there's a difference between being in the spirit and transcending the earth.
Need a glass of water here.
Yeah. And going into a parallel life. a parallel existence, traveling, the soul traveling and taking on a different body in terms of a physical location, going to another planet or whatever. Those elements, I suppose those elements can exist and we can travel in our soul to another planet. But if we're talking about the attitude of transcending the earth and being in the spirit, we're not really talking about a locale, we're talking about a state of existence. And in that eternal state of blissful existence, there isn't anything that the spirit needs. We don't need a TV, we don't need a book, we don't need a sunset, we don't need anything that we would otherwise deem as a hobby or dazzling to the eye or anything like that. We're in a state of eternal energy. So that attitude, when we go into meditation, we usually take a certain posture, we close our eyes and we empty our brain of everything. We go into the void of nothingness. And that void of nothingness, I think, is where the eternal secrets are. So first of all, it's a state of existence. And in that state of existence, there's a virtual stillness. There's movement in the idea that there's omnipresence and omniscience. But there's a sense of stillness in that there isn't a need to have to go anywhere or therefore be anywhere. You're in an eternal state of stationary illumination. And in that regard, that's something our minds can't quite handle, but I think that we try to get there in our elements of meditation
and
astral projecting in terms of concentrating about how to release the body from the soul. No one astral projects by running around the block or by going to their favorite amusement center and having a good time. You astral project by laying very still and releasing your spirit from the body. Now, in this release of spirit from the body, you're releasing yourself from all physicality. And you're moving into a cosmic consciousness, if you will, a cosmic realm. And in that cosmic realm, there is really nothing material that we have to connect to. So there's no illusions to the earth. Even in the aspect that there is a certain astral realm and trees can be illuminated, people can have halos and whatnot.
Right, and there are certain activities that have been... Specifically in the dreaming state. I mean, there's a lot that goes on when astral projecting that correlates to the earth. Is that because we're inhabiting the earth currently when we're dreaming?
That's because we're inhabiting the earth and we're connected by a silver cord to the body. So as long as we're connected by a silver cord to the body, you really haven't transcended the earth entirely.
So when we are completely released from the body, then we're not going to experience the elements of the earth in the way that we do in our dreaming state or our astral projecting when
we're not
in the body.
We're not. Now there are variations there because people can have their silver cord severed and still be locked within the earth, like a ghost or a wandering spirit. So you can still wander the earth, if you will, and be locked within the parameters of the earthly energy, even though you're in a parallel dimension universe. But that's not total transcendence. Total transcendence is beyond light years from the earth. There's no conception of time.
So can we get back to the parallel universe concept for a moment? So it's possible that some of us are living in our physical bodies here on the planet, but are living also in a parallel universe in a physicality on another planet. And then what happens when we die, when we're on this planet?
Well,
what happens to our life on that other planet in that parallel?
Well, you're talking about the human soul in connection to the body, and we can have parallel existences in other dimensions as long as we're still locked within the context of the human soul. When we are beyond the aspect of the human soul and we are in spirit, we are no longer deemed as human beings. There is no humanity, no human quality about us. We are in the element of spirit, and that has a whole different concept of a consciousness that is cosmic. We're in a cosmic world now,
mm-hmm.
And cosmic is beyond the cosmos. It's beyond physicality. It's in the element of energy.
But the physical, mm-hmm. For instance, if we're visited by aliens here on the earth, those aliens are not just in a cosmic consciousness, they're in physical bodies on that planet.
Yeah, again, you're talking about rocks, planets, solar systems. It's a whole different element. It's like saying, well, you know, the difference between an airplane and a jet. Okay, you have an airplane and a jet, the difference between planets. But a jet is not the same as a spacecraft that can defy gravity and move into outer space. You're in a whole different element of consciousness when you have absolved yourself of the earth and its karma and the whole planetary walk and the afterlife and all that. So we're not even talking about planet hopping. We're not talking about moving into different dimensions. We're talking about transcending all of that and getting into an area. It's not even an area. It's a consciousness. It's an awareness of being in total spirit. That means that not even the soul is there. There is no soul. There is no body. It's just eternal spirit. So when you're in that realm, I mean, what do you think there's going to be? A comfortable chair? You think that, you know, what? There's nothing in that realm that we can actually connect to in our current consciousness because we're blocked. Our bodies and our souls are blocked to that total Holy Spirit aspect because of this the concrete dimension of energy. So in the concrete dimension of energy. So in that regard, we can't even see beyond. We can't comprehend because we're locked by different confines of our physicality and our soul existence. And our soul existence is still locked within a certain amount of karma. So it's not really a location or a place as much as a awareness. You're living, you're existing eternally in awareness, in omniscience, in omnipresence. You're in all places, all time, all awareness, and you're even transcending that. And imagine doing it without moving.
You know, there was somebody here last week that had someone that had crossed over. I won't give the details, but you had indicated to me that person, or not the person, but the soul that you were communicating with, was communicating with you in numerical code. And I said, that's really strange, because I don't think this soul that was coming into the spirit, that was coming into the reading, is going to be transcending because of the conditions of their death. They're going to be probably coming back to the planet because of what happened. But this soul was communicating in code to you. And what I thought was really interesting was the fact that, because in the previous lifetime of this individual, there was likely no concepts related to numerical codes and things like that that were in that person's consciousness. But when in the you know, afterlife, so to speak, that awareness was there. I thought that was very strange, because when we cross, we have awareness that we don't have in the physical body, even if we're not transcending.
Well, yeah, it's a whole different, there really isn't a need for codes. Codes are for the brain.
Right, but because you were communicating with him on the earth plane, and he knows that you're, you know, use numbers for code, you know, numbers for information, numbers for codes, that you are a numbers person, this is what symbols he was sending you.
In that regard, because of the attitude of the code and the number and the system.
Right, I'm not saying that people communicate in codes when they get, but they understand the cosmic language of the universe and how it pertains to the earth plane.
Yeah,
and so numbers are very important on the earth plane, obviously.
The higher you go into the realm beyond our physicality, the more you have to drop in communication when you are communicating to a human being. It's just like we don't have regular conversations with our pet animals. We use certain words and certain gestures that are base and concise. When you get into the element, when a spirit gets into the element of trying to translate to an earthling, how to speak in spiritual terms. Yeah, there might be a command given as a code or as a symbol or as maybe a word or a number. And then you have to have that artful design of interpretation where you interpret what you're hearing and put it into more elaborate terms that you can connect to. But when I have communicated to spirits that I believe were very high energy, there is no language. It moves through my soul and my spirit, and I feel. I don't.
Vibration,
it's
not a
feel.
It's not a.
Yeah, and our
symbol or a
the closest
number.
We can have to that eternal energy is the high intensity of a feeling. But that feeling is not based upon emotion. It's not an emotional feeling. It's a spiritual essence of the feeling. So when you get into that higher realm, you can't, it's even hard to depict it in words. You try to describe it, and you're caught in the endless assemblage of similes and metaphors. And so it doesn't even adequately express what the energy is. It's not even something that words can accommodate in any form or assemblage. So when we get into that higher element, there is really nothing in the physicality of the location that can be defined as spiritual. So it's not a description of a place as much as the essence of an existing energy. And that energy, existing energy, of course, energy is energy. But when you combine it with the adjective existing energy, you get into a whole different concept of what it is to be aware. And in that consciousness, in that cosmic consciousness, we are in the awareness of something that we best define as light. You know, you're going to be in the light. Well, what does that really mean to be in the light? We don't have conversations with light. So light is really, in our terminology, it's really awareness. Light is awareness. So to be aware, to be in the awareness of the light of God, is to have a whole different concept of what it really means to be in, out of the body and in a spiritual realm.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the relationships on the planet and how those transfer into the afterlife, because many of us believe that we're going to be joined with our family and friends once we die. But the tribal basis of those relationships on the earth are really not congruent to what occurs when we've crossed over, especially if we're not coming back.
No. I mean
we do work out things.
If you
believe
that, watch the reruns of All in the Family. There isn't, We don't go up there and we're all in the family. We're not all gathered together in the living room, you know, for eternity.
We do work things out with other souls on the astral plane, especially when we are going to be returning to the planet. I mean, there are certain energies that are worked out, but we don't go up in our groups of family and friends and exist for eternity.
No, I mean,
which may be disappointing to
karma.
People.
You're talking basically about karma, but you know. What, just because one person has karma, does that mean they can lock another person into their karma and compel them to be in a certain place at a certain time forever? We transcend the human relationship. And we get into a realm where human relationship is not even a needed thing anymore. We're in a spirit. And a spirit is the totality of all things. How can we conceptualize that in our finite minds? We can't.
Right.
It's sort of futile to even begin to discuss it, but we've got to start somewhere in a crude discussion in our caveman setting of what it is to really exist in a total spiritual energy. You know, we have to start somewhere and use the crude instruments of language.
Okay, let's hold for a minute because we have a caller from 337, so let's answer their question.
Hi,
who's this?
My name is Candace. I'm Pulse in Louisiana. How are you?
We're well, but we cannot hear you at all.
I'm sorry. My name is Candace. I'm Pulse in Louisiana. How are you?
Fine, Candace. How are you?
What's her?
Candis, right? We've spoken with you several times, so I remember your name. And what's your birth date again? I don't remember that.
November 23rd, 1983.
She's November 23rd, 1983. Are you on a headset or anything, Candace?
Yes. Let me get off of it.
That would be good because I think that when people call in with headsets, it's somehow we have a hard time hearing.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I might want to work out your birth date. I'm spacing out here. 5, 6, 7, 17, 28, 10, 1, right? Is that what you got? And she well, yeah, but your mass, your karmic number, your 11-23-83, 28 is your karmic number. 28-10-1 karmic number, 1 master number. And she's from Louisiana, and you are how old? 17 and 16?
32.
That's right. Okay. Candace, what's going on?
Well, I'm actually going through transition, especially when it comes to my career and working on my music career and everything like that. And I end up getting connected with somebody, and it's just, I guess maybe it's just the waiting. This is
Candace, can someone stop you really quick? You're really muffled. Can you talk right into your receiver because it's very garbled?
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm going through a transition regarding my career, and it's regarding my music career. And I'm, you know, I guess I'm just in a waiting period, and I'm just curious to find out if y'all pick up on anything regarding that and when it's, everything's going to take off when it comes to my music.
Well, what practical, I mean, before I hand it over to you, Neil. What practical things have you done to help further your career or your skills?
I've been sending out a lot of demos. I do write and everything that kind of way. I've been sending out demos, my copyrights to my music and everything like that, just writing and everything. And I've gotten contacts and stuff, and, you know, I'm just hoping that somebody's wanting to work with me.
Yeah, yeah. Any training that you've done? Have you gone to school for music or
I have a bachelor's degree. Yes. I have a bachelor's degree, and I actually taught children singing vocal lessons, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Neil, are you picking any?
Well, Candace, a couple of things I'm picking up in imagery, first of all. And, one is sheer numerical age, which would be the age of 28. Did you go change at the age of 28? Did you move from the church setting to in music energy? Did you go anywhere around the age of 28 and move from one area to another?
Yes, actually, I'm still working on R&B and neo soul and jazz, all that in that combination. I actually was doing church stuff, and I'm being transitioned actually from that.
At that age?
Not exactly. A little bit later. Later on.
Candace, let's go back real quickly to 28, about 4 years ago. We've got to go back there just for a second. And tell me what you remember about that throughout that year.
I actually became conscious, woken up and going through the symptom changes and everything. And that type
you
of
became
thing. Yeah.
conscious, so like yeah. more spiritually aware.
Okay, good. Now, is there anyone in your family, in your background, that was in the Navy or the naval battleships or anybody in the background there?
My dad was. He was in Vietnam.
Your dad was in Vietnam?
Yes.
And is your dad alive or crossed over?
Yes, he is. He's alive.
He's alive. Okay. And does your dad have any musical talent?
Yes, he does. Actually, he does. He plays a few instruments himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, as I'm putting this together, you know, this is a rapid assemblage of energy pieces. So it's like I'm putting together a. And I don't have a limited amount of time on the radio to do this. But I'm thinking that you're going to make it be making a transition before November.
Mm.
So now when we look at that, we're looking at the elements of time and energy that might be connected to your passage through the planet, through the earth. And I'm saying that at the age of 32, which is what you are until November, you're mm-hmm. going to be experiencing something that will graduate you to the next level of your career. So something's okay. going to, first of all, I predict that something's going to happen before November. What, well, you know, you just have to kind of keep the energy moving and doing what you're doing. And what will ultimately happen is you'll attract the quality, the energy of what is coming for you. So if you keep doing what you're doing, Candace, somehow or somewhere the connected energy of that will promote your career will occur. And I don't know, there's another element here that is very odd, but it goes in the way of food. And forgive me for being a little bit absurd here, but do bananas play a part in your life? Do family like them? I mean, what's with bananas?
Well, I do like bananas, but not in that
type of way,
like so much more than anything. I mean, I eat them. I do eat them. I'm very big on fruit and stuff and eating really healthy.
Well, you know, as long as you're in music, Harry Belafonte became famous by singing the Banana Boat
song.
I don't know if you're aware of that, but you should be with a BA in music.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
I'm very aware of that.
You're very aware. Good, good, good. Well, there's something to do. I don't know what's going on yet, but in our deeper dialogue and symbolism and whatnot, I'm getting a connection between Harry Belafonte singing the Banana Boat song and your career going into your own element. There's a connection there somehow. And again, I think there's another lasso around your father and his career in the military in Vietnam that again brings into a certain element, maybe of the soul, or the lyrics or maybe just the past life connections that you have that brought you to this stage of your existence.
Yeah.
But if
I do
all
write,
that makes
sense. Because I do write music too. I write and also compose as well.
She writes and composes, she said.
Oh, okay. So in that regard, you know, there's something involved in the context of your words, of your music, of your composition that equates to some of these allusions that I'm reaching for. And it all stems back to a past life. Coming forward, it brings us closer to the present and immediately to maybe you achieving your next attitude of success at the age, during the age of 32. A little bit esoteric, a little bit mysterious, the dialogue, but nonetheless, that's okay. I mean, music is an abstract art.
Are you making any money at all off music?
No, not right now. Actually, I just made some money. I mean, I'm a more of anything professional musician than anything, and I've made my living doing gigs and everything, and Sunday I had a gig, so I made money off of that, but... I mean,
right, so there is a little bit. There's a little bit of energy there.
Yeah.
What about like singing, like doing a church job? I mean, I don't know if in your area.
That was something that I did do, and I used to do that. And especially in my area, I'm from a small town, so when I was in the bigger city, I was making a whole lot more money than I ended down. You know, I kind of basically said that because I really wanted to focus more on myself. When I'm focused on something, regardless of music, whether it's somebody else or anything, I always put them before myself. And that was something I wanted to do, is really focus on myself and my music, because to me that's very important. You know,
right. And you know what? We missed something because I had our show opened in another window and it started playing, like, you know, if I was, as if I was a listener, and for some reason it started playing an ad. So there was something missed. Are there churches in your area that actually pay like for a weekly gig? Or is that common? Sometimes, I mean, the larger areas, metropolitan areas, there's more of opportunities for singers and churches, but.
Right now, I mean, it's possibility, you know, I mean, I guess more than anything, I just wanted to focus more on my genre and my career, not so much as on church, because I know for a fact that that's not what I'm supposed to do.
You know? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, opportunities for musicians are few and far between to get a church gig. I mean, it's something regular and you're making money on a regular basis. It may not be, you know, like the selling out stadiums and performing concerts and, you know, having your own act, but it's a step in the right direction, in my opinion. I mean, you know, you take what you can get, but.
I mean, that's actually pretty easy to do, is get back on into that. I guess I just didn't want to focus so much on that, because when I did, that's really all I focused on was the church and focusing on that gig with the church and not so much more on myself. And I've always did that, and it actually has pushed a lot of things, especially dealing with my music and stuff, back. It pushed a lot of it back, because I couldn't go to the studio. I was more focused on things dealing with the church, have to really deal with them and everything like that. And that was something that I wanted to basically just decide for a change, to focus on myself and at least give myself a shot.
Right,
you know.
Right. That's, gosh, sounds like a big commitment they're asking for, you know, just a Sunday gig.
Yeah, they do.
As a
musician, yes, it is a very big commitment, very big commitment. And a lot of people don't understand it. I was a choir director, and I also played the instrument during.
Right, but being a choir director is different than, like, having a singing gig at a church. You do a rehearsal, and then, I mean, a lot of jobs, singers, a lot of singing jobs, you can do the rehearsal right before the church gig. You come in an hour early, you do your church singing, and you're out of there. So that would be something like that. I'm not saying choir.
Oh,
direct.
As a praise team leader, I did. I used to do that. That was when I did that a few years ago. I actually was a praise team leader, and I was paid to do it. That's actually quite is not as, especially when it's one of the bigger congregations. They're looking for stuff like that, but it's hard to really get that, because it's much more of a televised and much more of, I mean, I get what you're saying and everything like that. I just never really thought about going back to that as a praise team leader. I guess.
Right.
I can,
well, you know, I mean, sometimes if you're putting the energy into the field that you want to have more work in, then opportunities will arise from there. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, your demos and what you're recording and what you're putting out there, you know, it's a big game. It's a big hustle there, and it's just going to take a lot of perseverance, sweat, work.
Management.
And,
I mean, it takes.
Yeah, agent. So you need all that. I will say this before we leave here. The name Randy keeps coming at me. Now,
Randy,
the name Randy. It doesn't, maybe you know a Randy, maybe you don't. Maybe you have known a Randy, maybe you never have. But that name does keep coming at me. It reminds me of when I get that name, I start to see what Ike Turner, what was her husband's name?
Ike Turner, you mean Tina Turner and Ike Turner?
Yeah, Ike
Turner.
You know, for some reason, I keep seeing him. I keep seeing a man playing a guitar, and I don't know, my mind is going back. My mind alludes to him, and I don't know, you know, where this is coming from. Yeah, it may be in the shadows of the future here coming up. And also, the other name is Isaac. Now, again, you know, it's an old name. It's not a real popular name. But these are names that seem to be coming in. There seems to be a strong letter I that is coming at me. So that might help you a little bit. Maybe it won't, but as far as future dialogue is concerned, is something to pay attention to. And we'll put out energy, you know, to help you promote your career. You know, we do energy work, Kristen and I, so we'll work with that.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. Hello? Hello?
She can't hear us.
I can hear now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We didn't hear what you last said. So there's a little.
No, I was just saying. Okay. That's all it is. Okay.
Okay. Well, good luck. And like I said at the beginning of the show, we're asking that people who have called the show more than three times join us on our social media network. So we'd really appreciate your support, Candace. We're Neil and Kristen Baker on Facebook, and there's Neil Baker Psychic page. So if you could join us there, we would love it.
I sure will. Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Okay.
So we were discussing the aspect of the outer realm. And, you know, it may not be of a great importance to our listeners because we're in the earth, we're living in the earth, and we're so concerned about what's going to happen on this planet at this time that we tend to forget or neglect our journeys in the hereafter, which actually we're working towards that area as we live and breathe. So everything we're doing is also fueling the spiritual walk beyond. Some people may not believe that. Some people may just believe that this is it and that's all there is to it. And whatever the hereafter is.
Generally, those people aren't tuning into our show probably, but.
They probably aren't. But if some people will just say, you know, I'll just do my life and wherever I go in the hereafter, I'll go in the hereafter. But I'm really concerned about what I'm doing on this planetary level. And that's fine, too. I mean, our show is based a lot on the immediacy of our concerns, you know, who we're going to be, who we're going to be connected to, what job we're going to get, where we're going to move to, things like that. Which I think are still tied into the tail end of that is karma, past life. So we are, our current journey is a mixture of both past and future. So future being that we're working towards something, and where we are is based upon where we have been. So that journey is more or less centered in the middle here of our current life on the planet and where we're going. But that doesn't mean to suggest that where we are going, the description of that, which is the title of our show, is totally different from that journey. We're beyond any conversation of what we're doing on this planetary level when we talk about what is the location or the site of the hereafter. And in that regard, we get into the element of consciousness, thought.
Right.
Which has nothing really to do with location.
Well, what I'd like to maybe get into on the next show that we do is how we interact with other souls, because on a karmic level, we don't, you know, go up there and hang out with the people that we're on the planet with necessarily once we're done with the planet. But there has to be some interaction with higher energies, you know, other souls. And I'm wondering maybe if we can get to that on the next show.
On the next show. In that term of cosmic consciousness, there is going to be an assemblage of energy. And that energy kind of is diffused of identity. It goes into more of a higher thought form than it does go into a personality form. So we don't just necessarily equate the hereafter with personality.
No, but maybe how do we heighten our consciousness and ascend higher into that spirit level through the interaction with other energies that are above us, et cetera, et cetera. So why don't we talk about that on Friday?
That sounds good.
Yeah, because we've got about 12 minutes left. So yeah, but we'll stop for today. And we are on the air on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, once again, 1 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.